hear really, and God was able to help her. Our theme for this year's Friend Day is there is a remedy, and that is Jesus Christ. And that remedy is able to help all types of people with all different types of problems. We've gone and looked at the disciples and how he calmed the storms, he can control the weather, how we looked at the maniac of Gadara, how he was able to cast out those many, many demons. And then we also looked at Jairus' daughter this morning, how he was able to raise her from the dead. So today we have a woman that's desperate, a woman that is an outcast, a woman that is in society, no one wanted to be near her. By the law, was even forbidden to be able to be near and touch her. And here we see a woman who is in desperate need of help. But there's a phrase here in the Bible that interests me tonight, and I pray that will help you. And I pray that from the message tonight that we'll all want to leave this place getting a hold of Jesus and getting a hold of God. In Luke chapter number 8, let's look here in verse 42, it says, "For he had only one daughter," this is talking about Jairus, "about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying in this. But as he went, the people thronged him." Now, this idea of throng meant that there's a lot of people, and it means that people are bumping into one another. You ever been to a place like that? I hate places like that. I hate being so close to somebody. You're just kind of walking along. You're bumping shoulder to shoulder. People are accidentally bumping into one another. I like my space. And that's not what's happening here. You can imagine I like to paint pictures in my mind when I'm studying, and I was thinking about this. I see Jairus coming in probably in his religious robe, and he comes and he falls at Jesus' feet, and they even say worship him in Matthew, and he greatly besought him in Mark, and he was begging Jesus, "Jesus, come," and Jesus responds quickly and goes and starts walking, but the masses are going with him too. They thronged him. It was a large multitude. I can imagine if I was Jairus, I would be out in the front, you know, walking and being excited, kind of turn around hoping that they're coming and coming quickly and coming soon and wondering why Jesus is walking so slow, and then all of a sudden there's a stop. Jesus turns around and Jesus asks something that was kind of peculiar. He asks, "Who touched me?" And the amazing thought about, and this is the question I want to think about, there's lots of people that were touching him, lots of people that were bumping him, but the way that this woman reached out and touched him in faith is what caused him to stop and help this woman. Let's look what it says in verse number 43. It says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any." So we see that she has a disease, an issue of blood. She has spent all of her own living trying to correct this issue, but no one could help her. It says in verse 44, "Came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?'" Now, when all denied, all that were around him says, "Well, I didn't touch you." Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, 'Who touched me?'" So when I'm coming and I'm reading this, he's there and he's saying to him, "Look, Jesus, people have been bumping into you for the last couple hours. For the last half hour, probably 100 different people are trying to get up there and trying to touch you." Or I can imagine when I'm thinking about the scenes that, you know, these men, the stronger men are there and they're probably not letting anybody else in. And maybe moms are holding their babies up, hoping that Jesus will touch them. Or people are climbing up sycamore trees and things like that just to get a view of him and see him. And you see these multitudes going. They just want to get a glimpse of him. And he says, stops and says, "Who touched me?" And what interests me in this story is that even though there was a lot of people that had touched him and bumped into him, there was one person that got Jesus' attention. Let's keep on going. We'll get back to that in a second. And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me." And he dismisses what Peter's trying to say. He's trying to teach a lesson here. He's always trying to teach, always trying to grow in her faith, always trying to explain something. He's going to help this woman, help this woman understand, and help this woman to be able to go away in peace, also teach the multitudes a lesson, but also help Jairus with the increase his faith also. And he says, verse 46, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, meaning that she could not stay silent, that someone's going to have to own up, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him all before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith have made thee whole. Go in peace." What a wonderful and amazing story. Let's look at Mark also. Now, this is recorded just like the other two miracles in Luke, Mark, and Matthew. But let's go back to Mark chapter number 5. There's the wording is a little bit different, gives us more different adjectives, and also gives us a little bit more enlightenment on the picture. Mark chapter number 5, verse number 24 is where we're going to start. Mark 5 and verse 24, the Bible says, "And Jesus went with him, and much followed him, and thronged him." Once again, you got a large mass of people bumping into one another. "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years," we see how long this was, "and had suffered," now look at this phrase here, find it interesting, "had suffered many things of many physicians." So not only does she have this issue of blood, she is suffering with this issue. But not only is she suffering, it seems as if she's suffering with the things that she's doing, what's accomplishing with these physicians, what's causing problems, not only with her disease, but also the physicians that she's going through. "And had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered." She gave everything she had to get this better, nothing better. But look at the next phrase. "But rather grew worse." Verse 27, "when she had heard of Jesus." We don't know who told her. We don't know what happened. But there was someone who took the time to tell her about Jesus. That's an important point of the lesson. She needs help. She's going to get help from Jesus. But someone's going to have to tell her, look, he is the answer to your problems. And it's not going to help us. If we know that, hey, Jesus is the answer to this person's problem, they need to hear what Jesus has done in our lives. Like he told the maniac of Gadara, go home and tell them. Go home and show them the difference, the great things that God has done. And he says, "and came in to press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." So she has in her mind, and what she believes is that if she could just touch even just his clothes, she was going to be made whole. Remember, we talked about Jairus this morning and talked about how he told Jesus if he would come and just touch his daughter, then she would be okay. This woman had in her mind and her faith was that if she could just touch his garment, she would be made whole. Verse 29, "and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press." Imagine these people are following. Jairus is probably ahead. And he turns around and he stops the crowd. And he says, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. God, we're here tonight because we want to hear from you. God, we're here tonight, hopefully, for the right reasons and the fact that we desire to hear what your word has to say. And as we picture this woman, Lord, we see the desperate situation she was in. But Lord, we see her determination. She was going to get to Jesus one way or another. And Lord, I wonder, in our church service and even in my own life, are we determined to get a hold of you? Are we willing to do whatever is necessary to say, I need to get to God. I need to get to Jesus. I need his help. Lord, I think all of us will recognize and say, we need God's help in our lives. We need God's help maybe with our families. We need your help, Lord, when it comes to our finances, for the filling of the Holy Spirit to be a difference in this world. We need it. We understand our situation. But Lord, help us leave this place seeing as this woman saw her desperate need and was willing to get to him. Lord, speak to people's hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when you think about this question, who touched me? It reminds me of sometimes when people talk about how God can touch a person. You know, sometimes people talk about God has touched that church or how God has touched their nation in the past. And he's dealing with the other part. You know, God is really on that person's life or God has touched that person. God has helped that person. You see a difference. But Jesus turns around and changes the question and says, who touched me? A great crowd of people gathered Jesus and he still said, "Who touched me?" And what this helps me imagine is there's people who were there. There was people who were in the crowd. There was people there that could have touched Jesus and could have gotten the help that this woman had had. But there was only one who came to him with that touch of faith. I guess it encourages me to understand that there's a lot of people that reach out to Jesus. There's a lot of people that pray to Jesus. There's a lot of people that come to church and they sing songs. They come to church and they hear messages and they come to church and they experience different things. But the question is, have we really got a hold of Jesus? And you say, "Pastor, you're making it sound like there's some type of effort or there's some type of work that you have to do." No, he's available to us. Don't get me wrong. But when we see it's a touch of faith that this woman has, she has in her mind and she believes with all her heart and in her desperate situation, if she could just get to him and just touch the hem of his garment or just touch his garment, she was going to be made whole. And I want you to understand in our Christian lives, if we'll get to this spot and realize that we had to get a hold of Jesus, and are we willing to be as desperate as this woman was to say, you know, if I can just shuffle my way through. And this woman was weak. This woman was anemic. This woman was diseased. And she pushed her way through the crowd just to somehow get to be able to touch his garment. And she says, "I have to get to Jesus." And so many things in this world today distract us and they stop us from getting to him. So many things in this world we focus on instead of focusing on getting to him. Then we turn around and say, "I don't know why I don't ever get touched by Jesus. I don't know why I never see him working. I don't ever know why I don't see him moving. I pray and I do this, I do this." And once again, these people were there in this crowd, but Jesus stopped for one woman and said, "Who touched me?" Who was the woman that had the touch of faith, believing that Jesus would definitely help her? There's three things tonight I want you to think about. First thing I want you to think about is this woman was diseased. This woman was diseased. Mark 5:26, we read, "And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse." She was diseased. You see the word here, and it says in verse 43, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years." Back in chapter number in Mark 5, it talked about how she was actually used the word diseased. This word, her symptoms were this issue of blood, which literally meant that she was hemorrhaging. She was bleeding from some part of her body. And it was a flowing blood, and it was something that she had a symptom of. She also suffered, as we mentioned in Mark 5:26. It wasn't just some type of disease that, yeah, you just learn how to deal with it and you just go on. No one's going to notice. She actually suffers with this disease. She suffers physically. A person who is losing blood would be a person who would be weak, who would be anemic, a person that probably would be pale, a person that would probably have no energy at all. I know sometimes that's the way I feel. And I guess I don't have the energy, but this woman, as losing blood, these things that would not cause much effort for some people to do, she would be worn out from doing. She would be incredibly, probably weak, even a pathetic creature to look at. She also suffers socially. And it's kind of interesting, as I was studying and doing this, that this woman could not be married because she was not able to have physical contact with another person because they thought that she would be defiled. She's a defiled person because of this issue of blood. If she had been married, according to what I studied and looked at, he would be forced to divorce the person because there was a danger or defilement. This reduced this woman, just like a leper, to be begging for scraps of food, probably at a distance. Her condition left her on the fringes of society or someone that was helping her. She also suffered emotionally, too. Could you imagine for 12 years not being able to have a relationship, not supposed to be touched by another individual? She has suffered religiously under the law in Leviticus 15, 19, and 25 through 27. This woman is considered unclean, and anything or anyone that she touched would be considered unclean. And as a result, she could not mingle with the people in public. She was not allowed to go to the women's court of the temple because she was unclean. We also see that she was suffering financially. The Bible tells us she spent all that she had. These different doctors and different physicians, they might have offered her hope, but in the end, all they did was drain her bank account. So this was a woman who was diseased, and she was in a very, very desperate situation. The second thing was, not only was this woman diseased, and the second point is this woman was desperate. We could use the word desperate, or we could use the word determined. Either one, they kind of play off of each other when it comes to this. Matthew 5:26, as we looked at, not only does she struggling, but she's not getting better, she's actually getting worse. After all the years, after all the doctors, all the time she had hoped for a remedy that would work for her, she has come to the place where she knows she is living under a death sentence. She is not going to get better. She will die from this disease. But then in Mark chapter 5, verse 27, it says, when she heard of Jesus, she found out that there was a remedy, that there was a help. And many people find out about their condition, but they do not get desperate about it. I find it difficult, and as I was trying to picture this in my imagination, what was going on, that how this woman that probably was frail and probably was anemic and probably was very weak, how she could, out of just sheer determination, push her way through the crowd and push her way through the people just to reach out to grab just a hem of his garment, just to touch his garment. You see the determination that this woman had to have. She was not going to let anyone or anything stop her from getting to Jesus. And you see that she knew she was desperate. Well, you say, Pastor, what's the big deal there? We all need him. We all know people who need him. But sometimes we know we're desperate situations, but sometimes we are not determined like this woman was. She did not let the crowd sway her. She did not let the fact that he was at a distance sway her. She knew she needed him. And she kept on saying within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. This woman made her way to Christ. She allowed nothing to stand in her way because she was desperate. The situation we find ourselves in is desperate, but oftentimes we are not desperate ourselves. The situation we find ourselves in is desperate, but oftentimes we are not desperate ourselves. When we see a need in our family, is there something that stops us from getting to God about it? Do we think it's not that important? Do we think it's not worth it, not worthy of going to God about? Do we think that Jesus doesn't care? What stops us from getting to Jesus? This woman, the crowd did not stop them. We think about Jairus this morning as he went and he, as a religious leader that day, falls at the feet of Jesus. You can imagine what his friends said and what his colleagues said and what other people would say. And maybe he would lose his job as a ruler of the synagogue. Maybe he would lose his prestige. It didn't matter. Nothing stopped him to getting to the feet of Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus, when he was out there crying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The crowds told him to be quiet, but nothing stopped him from getting to Jesus. And I think sometimes we've gotten into our mind and gotten into our attitudes that, hey, I'm come to church. I hear the preaching. I hear the teaching. I sing the songs. I read my Bible and I pray. But are we desperate for God? Do we want to hear or do we pursue after him? Do we say, I'm not going to let anything stop me from getting to him? Is our issues any less? No. Our issues are just as great. Maybe not physically, but spiritually. You know, we don't have a desire like this woman does. This reminds me of that story in 2 Kings chapter number 7. In 2 Kings chapter number 7, it talks about how the four lepers were outside the city. And in the city, the enemy has cut off the city and that no one is able to get in, no one's able to get out. They stopped the water. They stopped the food. Everyone was starving to death. And the four lepers, men, at the entering of the gate, and they said to one another, why sit we here until we die? In other words, they're saying, okay, we can sit here outside the city. They're dying in there, but over there is the enemy's camp. Maybe we could go over there and ask them for some food, throw ourselves at the mercy of the enemy. Maybe they'll give us something. If they kill us, so what? We're going to die anyway. They come to that spot, and they understand how desperate it is, and they understand how big of a deal it was. And what happens? They go out to the enemy. God has caused the enemy to go away, and they go and they start feasting. Say, what's the point there? You see the desperation of those four men. They said, if I don't get the nourishment I need, we're going to die anyway. And when we come to desperation spots in our lives, we have to come to the spot and say, I need to get to him. Is there anything serious enough in your life that you're willing to fast for? The Bible talks about how these things come nothing but by prayer and fasting. Is there anything serious enough in your life that you would be willing to say, hey, I'm going to spend this much time in prayer to God so I get the answer to prayer? I'm going to commit this. I'm going to work at this. Is there anything that would change our thinking and our way of thinking and we become desperate enough to say, I need to get a hold of God? And I'm going to change who I am so I can get a hold of him. That's what this woman does. Next thing I want you to think about is this woman was delivered. Look what it says in verse 44. And came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood was stanched. And go up now to verse number 48. It says, and he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace. We see that it was nothing for Jesus to heal the woman. Now, he can sit there and say, I felt the virtue go out of me. And I think what he's referring to there, he knew something had changed. He knew the woman. And sometimes it is going to take work. It is going to take effort for us to cause. It's going to take work and effort for us to win people to Christ. It's going to take work and effort for us to do the work of God. But here in this thought, it was nothing for Jesus. Jesus didn't have to turn around. Jesus didn't have to say some words. Jesus didn't have to wave his hands. Jesus didn't have to even speak to her. Immediately, this woman was healed. I want you to understand the picture here that this woman was able to be delivered by Jesus Christ, just like he is able to deliver us from our problems and deliver us from our issues and deliver us from our things of desperation. Now, obviously, he doesn't always heal. We know that. He doesn't always raise from the dead. He doesn't always change the circumstances. He changes us so we can learn how to handle the circumstances. But when I see this woman, she reached out with faith. I wonder when we see the issues and problems that are going on in our life, are we reaching out with faith? Are we believing? Are we willing to fight through the crowd of our own lives to say, I can't let anything stop me from getting to him? My lack of belief, my lack of faith, the things that are surrounding me in this world, the critics that are telling me that no one can help, am I willing to wade myself through just to be able to catch a glimpse of him, just to be able to touch him? Is there anything in our life that we would say, I'm desperate enough to do this for? I know I hear people's issues, people's problems, people's requests. I know we could talk about the needs of our nation. That should cause us all to want to pray and fast. We could talk about the needs of our church. That could cause us all to want to pray and to fast. We could talk about needs of individual families. We could talk about financial needs. We can talk about emotional needs. We can talk about physical needs. The need list does not grow shorter by the day. It gets longer and longer. There is a greater need over and over. The question is, are we going to have the determination and desperation to say, I'm going to get to Jesus and I'm going to ask him for help day after day after day? Once again, there was people there. There were the crowd there. They were all bumping into him. But he didn't say to that guy that bumped into him, hey, why'd you bump into me? Or why did you touch me? Or why? No, it was the woman who had the faith to reach out to him and say, if I can just touch him, then I will be whole. Then I will be healed. It was that person that reached out by faith. And I'm wondering how many of us are reaching out by faith. I know we reach out when we pray. We reach out when we're listening to the Word of God preached and listening to the Word of God being read. But do we truly believe it can make a difference? I believe it can. I believe Jesus is truly the remedy. And I don't think he is turning his back to our needs and our problems. I think sometimes we're like those other people in the crowd bumping into him. We're good enough with just being near. We're good enough with just playing the role, being around him, because we want to learn, we want to grow, we want something special to happen, we want to see something special happen. But for us to happen in our own lives, we're going to have to reach out to him. We're going to have to get to this desperate spot and say, I'm not going to let anybody or anyone stop me from getting to him. This woman was diseased. This woman was desperate and determined, but this woman was delivered. I wonder how many in our lives Jesus would say, who touched me? Who took the time really to get on their face and say, God, I got a desperate need, and I'm not going to stop asking until you answer that. I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop serving. I need an answer, and I'm desperate for it. I wonder who Jesus would say, that person touched me. I know there's a lot of people around, and I know he hears and answers our prayers, but when we come to these things in our life that we're desperate about, are we reaching out to him? Are we fighting our way through the things of this world to say, I need to get to my Savior. I need God in my life. Who touched me? Peter's like, everybody touched it. Peter didn't understand. No. There's someone who touched me where that virtue went out. There was someone here who touched me by faith. And by faith, I'm going to answer their prayer. When have we prayed like that? When have we truly sought him like that? When's the last time we touched Jesus? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, with heads bowed and eyes closed. Our time and invitation.